Think of the pastor who was preaching, and there was a three-year-old girl who was present, and he said, you know, God's desire for us is that we may all be one. And this little girl said out loud, but I don't want to be one. I want to be four. God's desire is that we do be one in order that we can accomplish the purpose which He has called us to do. Now, what is that purpose? Well, I don't think there's probably a clearer passage of Scripture than this one to define what the church is all about and what the purpose of the church is, and the fact that He has given special gifts to those within the church in leadership in order to be able to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And I'm going to sort of bypass that first point and just summarize it and say that here are the four gifts that have been given. Apostles and prophets, and he says we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. As we look at this building right here, we are a body of believers, so we are a body and we are in a building. But we are also not only a body, we are a building. We are a building that is being built up, as 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says, into a spiritual house, that is living stones that are being put together in this spiritual house. So the analogy of a building and a body being built together is really a good one, and you'll notice how they sort of intertwine with one another. And in that building, the apostles and the prophets are the foundation. Apostle was one who had been with Jesus, he had seen Jesus, he had interacted with Jesus, he had heard from Jesus, and he was one who was sent forth by Jesus. He'd seen Jesus physically in the flesh. A prophet was one who received the word from God directly in that day, prior to the writing and the finishing of the word of God as we have it in 66 books today. And they are the very foundation upon which the church of Jesus Christ rests. And then on top of that, you have, notice, it says evangelists. That's those who have the gift, especially the gift of being able to share the good news with others, the gift of salvation. There are many of you here in the congregation that have that spiritual gift of being able to freely talk about your relationship with Christ, and God seems to bless that and give you fruit on a regular basis. Now, all of us are to do the work of an evangelist. That's what Paul said to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We are to do the work of an evangelist and fulfill our ministry. So we're all obligated to share the good news of the gospel. And then we have the pastors and teachers, those who are the overseers or the shepherds in the congregation, and they've been given to the congregation in order that they might exercise their gift of primarily teaching. John Stott says, and he's not one who's given to overstatement, he says there's one characteristic of all four of these gifts to the church, and that is the indisputable or essential thing of the pastoral ministry. The greatest need of the church universal today is the need for teaching. And that is teaching accurately the Word of God. So that's the first point that I want to make this morning. What is the purpose of all of this? Well, why were all these gifts given to the church? And you'll have to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in order to find out maybe what your spiritual gift is. But I challenge you, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, that you would begin to understand how you are gifted. Each one of us, when we were born into this world, were bent in a certain direction. Some of you are electricians, some of you may be plumbers, and others of you may be in a more professional kind of setting, but God sort of bent you in that direction and gave you the wherewithal and the desire mentally to be able to do what you do, and you do it well. Now, in the same way, when you were born again, that is, you were born the second time or born from above, because of the resurrection of Christ, Christ gave you certain spiritual gifts. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, as each one of you has received a gift, so minister it to one another according to the manifold grace of God. We're obligated to use that gift in serving the body of Christ, in building the body of Christ. Now, I want you to see what happens when people have a mind to work together. As we think of the future of our church, and as we think of the vision that God has given us to become an equipping center and also to be multiplying disciples in healthy churches throughout the greater San Antonio area, we can only accomplish this as we find where our spiritual gifts are and then we put them to work. It doesn't depend upon any one or two or three individuals. Now, I was raised in Amish country. I had some Amish friends before they built an Amish schoolhouse in our area. I was in grade school with some of these Amish young boys and knew a lot of them well and watched scenes like you're about to see for the next minute take place. So let's play that video. Building isn't going to look quite like that when it's finished, we hope. But you notice that they all work together. They have their place. Even the women are important. I shouldn't say it that way, even the women. You women are incredibly important, but I'm talking about in the barn raising. They fueled these guys and kept them doing what they were doing. Notice it says in verse 12, the whole purpose is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That includes all of us are to be involved in the work of the ministry. And the word equipping here was used primarily in two ways in the Gospels. It was used, for example, when Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee and he looked out and he saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee. It says they were mending their nets. And that's the same word that's used here for equipping. They were mending their nets. In other words, they were taking something that wasn't working properly and they were fixing it so that it can now be useful in the occupation of fishing. It was also used of the setting of a bone. It would be commonplace in that day in medical circles, if you had broken a bone, that the doctor would use this same word that's here in order to set that bone straight, so that whether it was your arm or leg or something else, now your arm or leg becomes a functioning part of your body once again. And that's why these spiritual gifts that are given in verse 11 and 12 are given in order that nets might be mended and bones might be set, and we each become a functioning part within the body of Jesus Christ. Now, we cannot do this unless, first of all, we are committed to the local body of believers. And I want to stress that because I don't say it often enough, but it's absolutely essential if you're going to be part of what you are seeing here and ultimately part of this wonderful thing called the Church of Jesus Christ, the body, the building of Christ, that the first thing you've got to do is be committed to the body. You've got to commit yourself and identify yourself with a local body, whether it be Wayside or someplace else. Far too many Christians today are just sort of floating between churches, you know, seeing what the pastor has to offer in that particular series that he's preaching, whether here in San Antonio or someplace else. I'm amazed a lot of times I ask people, or people maybe that have been here at Wayside or are visiting at Wayside, and you say, well, what church you go to? Well, I've kind of been going here and going there and going different places. Well, that's the wrong mindset. Find out where God wants you to be and then plug into that body. Get involved, because it's not about receiving, but it's all about giving. It's all about serving. And I find in my own life that when I develop that poor me mindset, which I do quite frequently, and I really get down on myself, and I'm in what we might call the blues syndrome, the best thing I can do, which I've been doing more of recently, is just giving somebody a call that I know is hurting. And all at once, I'm becoming the giver, and in giving, that's when I receive in return. And that's the way that God set it up, so that we become functioning parts within the body, and as we contribute to the rest of the body grows, so we grow too. Each member of the body grows, and we grow into that sense of unity and oneness with our Lord. I think of the freelance missionary who'd visited a pastor asking for financial support. And what church are you associated with? The pastor replied. Well, he said, I belong to the invisible church. Well, he was then asked another question. He said, well, what church are you a member of? And he said, well, again, I belong to the invisible church. Getting a bit suspicious, the pastor asked, well, when does this invisible church meet? Who pastors it? Well, the missionary then became incensed and said, well, your church here isn't the true church. I belong to the invisible church. Well, the pastor replied, well, then we will give you some invisible money to help you minister to the invisible church. Now, that reminds me, we have a little bit of a dip in our giving this summer, which is typical of churches throughout the country and ministries. And I would simply encourage you, as you look at the deficit that's there in the bulletin, to pray about that. We have missions teams going out. We have a lot of ministry opportunities that are opening up to us. And as God gives you that, we encourage you to give generously towards the church to meet that deficit. It happens all the time, and we see God supplying all the time. And we also have a need for another house, about $90,000 to purchase another house, which we are going to need here very quickly. And so if God has blessed you with those resources, that is part of the way that you can fit into the body of Christ, and we would encourage you to do that. Our whole purpose is to be serving one another. And that's what Christianity is all about. That's why Christ came, in order that he might serve rather than being served. And that's the attitude of us as his people. We are to be serving, not looking for others to serve us. We have so many opportunities to serve one another in our community. We have many who are involved in working with unwed mothers, or battered women, or the homeless, those in jail, the underprivileged, the elderly, the handicapped, our children's ministries, pro-life ministries. I mean, when I hear people say, well, they're going to go to another church because they really aren't needed at Wayside, that's not true. You are desperately needed at Wayside to be involved in some of these ministries that God is raising up. Well, how are we to be equipping one another? That's the question that I want to answer now, and that is through the Word. The Word is foundational to everything that we do. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, in order that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is the crying need of our day, to be equipped in the Word of God, with a strong knowledge of the Word of God, so that we are no longer, as Paul writes in verse 13, being tossed to and fro in verse 14, like children. They're just sort of being tossed to and fro here and there, never really knowing what we believe and what we believe about the issues that are affecting all of our lives. In fact, Paul said, I preach Christ in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. We preach him, warning every man, teaching every man, that every man may become complete, thoroughly equipped, complete, perfect in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, after he'd met with the Ephesian elders and he'd cried with them, and he shared with them how for 3 years he had spent day and night warning and teaching and doing it with tears. And then he said, now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to what? Build you up, edify you. You know, everything that we do with one another ought to be with the purpose of edifying, building up, not tearing down. I mean, we live in such a negative time, negative society. You turn on the news programs today, what do you have? You have people tearing other people down, political parties tearing other political parties down. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are to be building one another up. We are to be edifying one another, equipping one another, encouraging one another, exhorting one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, as Hebrews chapter 10 reminds us. Well, what is the purpose of all of this, the ultimate purpose? And I'll just be very brief on this. Verse 13, that is maturity, to bring us to maturity. What is maturity? Well, it's becoming Christ-like. So the people begin to see Christ in us and Christ in our church as we meet together. It is to have Christ being the reason for which we live. Let me say that again. It is to be Christ being the reason for which we live, not things. If we depend for our deepest joy on anything other than Christ being formed in us, then we're not there yet. And I got to tell you, I'm not there yet. I'm still in the process. I find too many times that I'm seeking the blessings rather than the blesser. I'm looking to the gifts that He can give to me rather than the giver Himself that He wants to give to me. When Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly," He's not talking about all of these things that He's going to add to our life, but He's talking about Him, how He is going to become the dominant force in our lives, the reason for which we live, that Christ may be seen in us. For to me to live is Christ. And that's where we each need to be encouraging one another to go, to that place. I must confess that I still value the good life much more than I enjoy, than I value the God of this life who has given me life. And perhaps that resonates with you this morning. To bring us to maturity, to the age measure of the fullness of Christ. So we're no longer like ships that are without anchors being tossed on a stormy sea. We're not just weather vanes that are up there on top of the barns, you know, telling us which way the weather's blowing, and we're blowing with it, like we see so many in our society, just sort of going this route, culturally, where we are going, without having any reason for believing that we should be taking a stand in any other direction, simply because we don't know what God's Word has to say. Or today we might say like golf flags out on a golf course, you know, they're just telling us which way the wind is blowing. Corporately, we're to come to the point of unity in our faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, where we begin to see Christ in one another. And we are never more like Jesus than when we are serving one another. Never more like Him than when we are serving one another. To an age measure marked by the stature of the fullness of Christ, the end of verse 13, is the way one translation reads it. Where Christ becomes our measuring stick. We don't measure one another by our spouses or by our friends or by fellow workers. I can't measure myself by other pastors. I find sometimes I still struggle with the thought of envy. Somebody has a bigger campus, bigger facilities, better location. You know, all these things seem to be going for them. I don't know if you struggle with that. I do. And envy can become a very much a part of our lives where we fail to realize we are not to be measuring ourselves by others, by one another, somebody else's corporation that's competitive with yours, being bigger than yours. No, we're to be measuring ourselves by Christ Himself. He is our measuring stick. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, Paul said, my little children, whom I travail again in the pain of childbirth until Christ be formed in you, so that Christ becomes everything. And when I look at you, I see Jesus. When I listen to you, I see Jesus. I hear Jesus. Jesus speaking powerfully through each one of our lives. Well, what is Christ like? Verse 15, I think, probably gives us the best explanation of what Jesus is like. And that is full of truth and full of grace. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things who is the head, that is Christ. Speaking the truth in love, truthing it in love, having that balance between truth and love in our lives. It's sort of like riding a bicycle. You can't go too far to the left or too far to the right or you're going to fall off. A bird has to have two wings in order to be able to fly. As Christians, we've got to be, in order to be able to soar and represent Christ well in our places of involvement, we've got to be people who are filled with truth and at the same time filled with grace. And one of the problems we see in addressing some of these cultural issues of our day is that even though people may stand where we do on the truth, they don't always do it well when it comes to doing it in grace and love. And with tears. And that's why we have to be so careful that we become balanced in all of this. You cannot be all that God wants you to be without belonging to a local body. And whether it's here at Wayside or someplace else, I challenge you, you need to commit yourself to the local body and become a part of that body. You know, stop and think for a moment, the analogy of a building or a body. Suppose we just knocked a whole section of this wall out. Well, the church would no longer, this building would no longer function as it was intended to function. Or suppose your arm, and this is how what Paul uses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, your arm says, yeah, I don't want to be a part of the body anymore. The arm just severs itself, if it could, from the rest of the body. But what happens to the arm? The arm dies, and the body suffers. And I would just challenge you as you think of your place in the body, regardless of how difficult it may be and the issues that you see in your life or in the lives of the people in the church around you, whether it's here, whether it's someplace else, the important thing is don't just float around. Be committed to a local body and get involved in serving in the area where you are gifted. It brings life to you and it brings life to the body. And that's what he's saying in verse 16, where it all grows up and it becomes a beautiful thing to watch. I don't know how many of you are into horse racing. I'm not into horse racing, but we did watch Smarty Jones. And Smarty Jones, even though he lost the third leg of the Triple Crown, was a joy to watch, wasn't he? I mean, he was just a piece of artistry, the way he ran. Beautiful horse. Wonderful body. Well-trained. Well, that's what God wants His body to be. Something that this world will look and say, man, there's something special about this horse, this body, this group of believers. They're just like my son. A well-known conductor was holding a rehearsal one night with a vast array of musicians and 100-voice choir. You're going to hear a choir here in a second as we conclude. But the mighty chorus rang out with the peal of the organ, the blare of the horns, the clashing of cymbals. Far back in the orchestra, the piccolo player thought to himself, in all of this noise, it doesn't matter what I do. So he didn't play his piccolo. Suddenly the conductor stopped the music, flinging up his hands. All became quiet. Someone he knew had failed to play his instrument. The shrill note of the piccolo had been missed. Say, nobody needs to see my gift. Yes, they do. Furthermore, God knows when you're not playing your instrument. God knows when you're not exercising your spiritual gift. I challenge you to consider that this morning. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're not a part of the body, you can get to know Him even here this morning. And we would invite you to do that at the end of the service, that you would come, and we would be able to pray with you and show you how you can become a vital part of the body of Christ and know your sins are forgiven and know the joy of going to heaven. Let's pray as we take up the offering this morning. Oh, loving Father, you are so great and holy and awesome in all of your ways. And we thank you this morning for the privilege of being able to hear your word and be challenged by your word. And Lord, we do want this place to be a lighthouse in this community that reaches out, equipping and mentoring and developing healthy disciples and healthy churches throughout this area. And we thank you for what you are already doing. We pray for these children. We thank you for the wonderful presentation this morning. And we pray your blessing upon each and every child and what they have received. Thank you for the workers. Thank you for Nancy, for everybody else that's been involved. And we simply want to give you all the praise and glory. And Lord, you know the financial needs, and we pray that you'll bless those needs to meet our budgetary needs as well as the addition for the house that is yet needed. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ready to be all He wants me to be. every moment His hand has had mercy. For all the love He has shown in my life, a simple thanks could never say how I'm feeling. No, I get tears in my eyes. So as for me, I'm gonna keep on believing in the one who's been so faithful to me. I'm not out to please this whole world around me. I've got my mind on eternity. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not afraid to be counted. I'm gonna give my life. Yes, I'm ready. Lord, I'll be anything. I'll give up the wrong and choose the right. No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're an anchor to those who are hurting. We're a harbor to those who are lost. But sometimes it just isn't easy. Bearing Calvary's cross, 'cause we've been ridiculed by those who don't know Him, and mocked by those who don't believe. Still I love standing up for my Jesus, for all that He's done for me. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, I'm not afraid to be counted. I'm gonna give my life. Yes, I'm ready. I'll give up the wrong and choose the right. No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. No, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. To some, He's just a name, but to me, He's my everything. I'm not ashamed. No, I'm not ashamed. I told Him back now, Jesus is everything. Of the gospel, no, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. No, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The story, it's gonna be my theme in glory. Story. of Jesus and my sweet Jesus and His love.
Missed it last night because they presented about a half hour of this. So that's what you get when you don't come on Saturday nights. You know, every now and then we surprise you. That was led by Molly Keener, and Gary and Molly have been members here for a while now. And we, a number of these folks are from Wayside, but you'll notice a number of strange faces. They are from, well, I meant that in a good kind of way. They are from a number, I don't, how many different churches are involved?
Several,
okay. But a number of great churches here throughout the San Antonio area. And we thank you. And Jennifer had strep throat, and God kind of recovered her for this weekend. So, if you have children through sixth grade, and they're not going to be staying for the second service, then they'd like to have you pick them up in the fellowship hall annex. If you are staying for the second hour, you do not need to pick them up after the second hour Sunday school. And then our prayer line. We have a very active prayer team here, and we would really like to encourage you to become part of the prayer team as we move through the summer and into the fall. I mean, prayer, bottom line, we talk about the Word, but prayer is obviously a priority. It has to be as we see God taking our vision into the future. And you'd like to be part of that prayer ministry or your small group, be plugged in praying on a regular rotating basis. We'd like to get the small groups more involved in prayer life here too. And we have teams of people that are praying during the services over here in what is known as the parlor. If you'd like to be part of that, please, please, there's numbers here. You'll notice there is a different number in the bulletin than what has been there for the prayer line in the past, but become part of that. We really encourage you to do so. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. If you'd like to pray with someone this morning, please feel free to come. There will be prayer teams here following. Father, thank you for this wonderful time of worship. Thank you for our children. All the work that's gone into this week. We thank you for this choir, and we pray as they sing in different churches over the next couple of months that, Lord, you would use them mightily. And that we just want to go back out into our places of influence and make a difference and represent you well. And that's our prayer for this week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.